How God loves us so much. We so unthankful sometimes, and so ungrateful, and so thoughtless, and but He still loved us. And I listened to Cindy and Mary sing, and listened to Jake pray, and work not for grace. There go I. Let's look at the book of Mark this morning as we celebrate Passion Week, and one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I knew I had to get to this one before I finished the series on great conversions in the Bible. I don't know if this one's a conversion or not. I'm not going to get far enough into it to figure it out this morning. We'll talk about it later. Mark chapter 1. We're going to talk about the cry of the leper. The cry of the leper. I don't know about anybody else. When I read about the Word of God and Jesus started His ministry, His whole ministry was I could call it the Passion 3 years that He walked. And He was heading to the cross all those 3 years. And I know I often say in John 6 when He told the folks, you know what, if you're going to follow Me, it's going to cost you. He was on His way to the cross. So let's look at Mark chapter 1. Let's start at verse 35 and read to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 1, 35 through 45. It says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they had found Him, they said unto Him, All men seek Thee. All men seek for Thee. And He said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And He preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, If Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for all of those who have made this service up to this point so wonderful, and lending their voices and their gifts. And we pray that they would continue to praise and worship you, and that you would continue to work in their lives mightily. We pray right now for those that are here, Father God, that need a word from you, that they need to hear from you this morning, not from a preacher, but need to hear from you. We ask right now, Father God, that you would just speak a word to the heart and soul of somebody, even this preacher. And we'll be better and stronger as we leave this place today, Father God. Thank you for everything you've done so far. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Palm Sunday. What's it all mean? And I look at the Sunday school lesson this morning, and you know, I could hear Jake all the way in my office teaching, so I didn't have to go in his class. Amen. These kids, they got the business. It's a day of fulfillment. According to Matthew 21, the disciples did what they were told to do. They were told to go and find a donkey and loose it. And they did it. It was a day of acceptance. They came and blessed, and they blessed Jesus. And we talk about Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus revealed who he was. He was the king. He was coming on the donkey. Like what Jake said, he's not coming back on a donkey.
Amen.
Get that. He's coming back on a white horse.
Amen.
And I plan on being with him.
Amen.
And he's going to come in, he's going to cleanse in the temple. Bible says judgment must begin in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
Man, I think about that. I think about it all the time. I think about that because God gave the church a great commandment. The church is to be salt. The church is to be a purifying agent. And when we look at what's going on in the world, we just wonder if the church is up to par. Is the church up to par? It was a day of healing. Bible said in Matthew 21 that the lame and all those that came to the temple that day, and Jesus healed them all. He was just a God of compassion. And it was a day of praise. We're talking about Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So we see that. But I look at this leper. I look at the story of the leper. The leper knew. Somebody had told this leper about Jesus. Somebody, maybe someone that was a demon was cast out, maybe someone that was lame, whoever it was, somebody told this leper about Jesus. Because it says he came and he worshipped him. He knew who Jesus was. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning. There's a cry of a leper. But this leper teaches us really three things. How to get after Jesus. How to get after Jesus. And it teaches us humility. And then it talks to us about believing in his power. I think a lot of us, you know, I think I heard it over. I heard Claire just talking when she was talking. You know, we've gotten to where we just want to be entertained. We just want to be entertained. And a lot of folks look at Christianity like that anymore. We got to draw the big crowd. And I can see a lot of preachers. You know, you got Money May and Pac-Man getting ready to fight. And maybe the revenue is going to be over $300 million for them too. Not counting everything else. The money that the hotel is going to make and the city is going to make. And I can imagine a lot of preachers sending a marketing committee to the fight. See if we can glean some truths. Let's see how we can make some money like that because we've gotten into it. We've gotten into making money. And that's never been God's plan for the church. I read up one part in here and I think a lot of churches would get mad when Jesus comes to their church and cast out demons. Folks don't like it when a preacher come in and preach folks out of the church. Well, you know, when I read that, I thought about that because demons don't want to hear the word. If you want to get demons out of your church, preach the word.
Amen.
And if you want to fill your church with demons, don't preach it.
Amen.
But he said he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. I don't know how to take that other than what it says.
Amen.
That when the word was preached, the demons left.
Amen.
So don't always get upset when folks leave. Okay. Let's talk about this leper. One thing we have to understand, first of all, we're going to be healed. We're going to be delivered. We're going to be saved. We have to know that we're sick.
Amen.
We have to know our spiritual condition. We have to know that I'm not well. I'm not healthy spiritually. Okay. And again, the leper knew he was sick. He knew he was a leper. He was in a leper camp. And we just talk about leprosy, and there's so much to talk about leprosy, but leprosy was a disease that caused your body basically to rot away. To rot away. Some people say it starts as a little spot. Maybe a spot on the forehead, spot on the lip, like a cold sore. Then it goes to your ear. Then your hair starts turning white. Then it fall out. Okay? Mine didn't fall out. It didn't turn white neither. I know I hear somebody. But I feel you. I say this all the time. I'm preaching. We either Jesus or the leper in this story. Okay? This ought to relate to all of us. If you're saved. If you're saved, you ought to be able to relate to this. Leprosy attacked the nervous system. It would attack the nervous system. You couldn't feel no pain. Imagine that, you couldn't feel no pain. Okay? One of his fathers said that a leopard or the rodents and the rats would go to the leper camp, and while the lepers would be asleep, they'd eat their fingers and toes off because they couldn't feel no pain. Okay? Say, once your appearance would alter, after a while you swell all up and you look sort of like a lion. Okay? Your voice would bump, the lump would be on your vocal cords, and your voice would be rhapsody. You know, you couldn't hardly talk, and it was you could tell a leper. They say this lasted about 9 years, and they would die a horrible death. See, one of the worst parts of being a leper is that you was a social outcast. You were kicked out of society. You weren't allowed to be with your family. They say your family would come and visit you for a little while, and they would bring food up to the borders of the leper camp, and they would feed you like that. You couldn't touch them, and you couldn't come near them. Once they put the food down, you had to leave. You couldn't become within 50 feet of a leper. And they say if it was a windy day, it was 200 feet. Imagine that. A leper. He knew he was a leper. He knew he was a leper. They was regarded as walking dead men. And I know my kids like watching them zombie movies. And that's become popular now. I don't know the series. I forget the series. And I'll be walking around the housing units, and all the kids are watching zombie movies. And I watched them the other day, and they was watching, and the priest was there and had a collar on like myself. And the lepers killed him. You know, the zombie killed him. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know? Okay. You know, and I've seen that. You know, you gotta be careful watching this stuff. I've seen so far, since I've worked at this new place, and I walk into units, and I wear my clericals all day when I'm working, and I walk into the unit, and some of the units, I just know they just satanic. And you walk in there, immediately folks, they just rise up and start acting crazy, cussing and fighting and different things, you know. And again, I don't know what they did at the leper camps. I don't know. They weren't touched. They weren't touched. And I think that was another problem that we'll see as we move into this leper. They had to wear a napkin over their bottom lip, top lip, and they had to cry unclean as they approached people. And folks would get out of the way. Luke, in his story of the leper, in Luke chapter 8, says the leper was full. He was full of leprosy. So this leper would have been full-blown leprosy. If they lived 9 years, he might have been in the ninth year of his leprosy. He was a dying man. Mm. Then when we look at leprosy in that sense, it talks about sin. It represents sin. Okay, it represents sin in the life, in our lives. And we think about how it was before we all got saved. Amen. Did I word that properly?
Yes.
Before we got saved, we were really a picture of leprosy. Think about it. Think about what leprosy does. It takes you away from your family. Think about what sin does. It takes you away from your family. It takes you away from your loved ones. Think about how that one little drink. People say, well, Neil, Pastor, you're always 100% against alcohol and drinking. Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know any alcoholics that didn't start with one drink.
Amen.
Yeah. And you may be able to drink a six-pack and be okay. And your son watching you may drink two and drive off a cliff. I think about Achan. Think about Achan in Joshua 7. This is just a little lust for money and wealth cost him his whole family. God had gave specific instructions that they weren't supposed to touch nothing from Jericho. But he seen the gold and he seen the robes and different things and took them and hid them in his house. And I think Joshua went to fight Ai, and Ai destroyed Joshua and the Israelites. Joshua was on his knees praying, and God basically told him, you know, nothing to pray about. This ain't a time to pray. This is a time to do business.
Amen.
Go back and find you got sin in the camp. Think about a little laziness, a little slumber. David looking out his window one day when he should have been out fighting. Seeing Bathsheba bathing. We know how that turned out. They broke a bunch of commandments. And sin, the Bible says sin never left his house. It caused David a lot of problems. Just a little spot. I think about the Titanic. And some people say, well, the Titanic, you know, because it was supposed to be the greatest ship ever built. Nothing would take it down. But it started with a little crack.
Amen.
Okay, we got to watch the little cracks. It started with a little crack. And then it went down. Let's talk about this leper. What we need to do to get to Jesus? What does this leper do? And this is good. This is good for some of us with young people like myself. And we deal with young people. We deal with teenagers. And we deal with just folks in general. This may not be for you. This may go in your little arsenal. Because I hear myself all the time. You need to stop. You need to go. You need to do. You need to stop. You're going to hurt yourself. When is enough is enough? Many of us, we share this with our young people, our loved ones, that we know are caught up. And we say, well, you need to stop. You need to end that. Get out of that. Don't go there no more. The leper, the first thing he had to do, the Word of God says, when we read in Mark, the first thing he had to do, he had to leave his leper and his friends. Think about that. It says in verse 40, there came a leper to him. So what did the leper have to do? He had to leave the other lepers. Y'all hear me? Some folks can't get to Jesus because their leprous friends won't let them. That makes sense. You can't get to Jesus because your leprous friends, they keep putting the beers in your face. Keep putting the weed in your face. I was watching a football player. They said the guy's going to be the top five pick. And already he's smoking dope at the compound. Compound? Combine. I mean, you know you're going to get tested. You know you're going to get tested. And he still do what he do. What kind of friends does he have? The leper had to get away from his friends.
Amen.
Here's the scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 6. Say this one. 17. It said, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. Say the Lord and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. You know, we know a whole lot of folks. Caught up. Peer group pressure. Can't say no. Can't walk away. This leper tell you one thing you got to do. If you're going to get to Jesus, you got to leave. Sometimes you just got to leave, folks. Think about all the stories I've told you, all the stories that we share in the Bible. Every one of them had to leave something. Every person I've preached about in the last 12 weeks had to walk away from things. Lydia. Lydia says she went back and her whole household was saved. Guess what? She went back and that house was changed. Because the fact that she was saved, the fact that she was born again, when she stepped back into that house, everything was changed.
Amen.
I bet that she tried throwing some stuff out.
Amen.
Okay, turning some things off. Think about Ruth. We talk about Ruth, and Ruth had to leave Moab. She had to leave all her Moabite associations. She had to leave her inheritance might have been in Moab. She had to leave. The Philippian jailer. When he took Jesus home, guess what? He broke his association with that. Mm-hmm. All his jail friends. Paul said, I count all as dung. Paul was a Pharisee. He wasn't a Pharisee once he came to Jesus. He was kicked out.
Amen.
Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She had to stop depending on men and doctors. She had to come to Jesus. Life had changed. The woman caught in adultery, life was changed. She had to leave that crowd. Jesus told her pointedly, go and what? Sin no more. And basically he was telling her, go and leave that crowd alone.
Amen.
You better find a different crowd to hang with.
Amen.
And the blind man, when he came to the Lord, they put him out of the temple. Put him out of the temple. It's not easy. I thought about this yesterday. I was watching the Gospel of John on YouTube. 3 hours. After the one thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still came along later on and broke his legs. I just thought about that when I was watching it. I said, listen, this man going to heaven. He on his way to heaven. And they still came along, and this is the picture of the world, and broke his legs. Broke his legs. Look at the cry of the leper. We see the leper left us all his leper's friends. Gotta leave him. Get away from him. And I sit here and I pound on my children about this. You know, I had this conversation on the way to church with Ray. I said, you know, Ray, you know, football coach at Liberty, that's some crazy stuff. You gotta be careful. That's what I mean when you can make a mistake like that. You know, you can't represent. Y'all would have a right. I told Sidney this. As y'all's pastor, if y'all see me downtown in the courthouse pleading for a gangbanger selling drugs and heroin and cocaine and crack, 10 babies. The boy, the man had 10 babies. 24 years old, 10 babies. And part of one of the most violent street gangs in Youngstown. And if I'm down there, standing before the judge saying anything but lock him up for life. Y'all have right to in the pastor system. We love you and everything, and you're welcome to stay here. You're welcome to sit in the pews and don't stop giving. You're one of our best givers. But you can't even preach no more here. Some things disqualify you.
Amen.
I'm just being real. I know. We especially in the black church. You know, he's just a man. Well, you know, it's hard to preach the supernatural if you don't. It's not working in your life.
Amen.
If I'm sitting there preaching, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and I can't do nothing. Look at the leper's cry. We seen the leper had to separate. We see have to get away from some stuff. And you're going to be saved, you got to walk in a different crowd. Okay? Come out from among them and be separate. That's just salvation. Okay? And if you're running with the same crowd, then more power to you. Okay? And that crowd needs to change.
Amen.
You can still run with you, but they need to change crowd.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Listen. In Jesus, verse 4, excuse me. And there came a leper to him. Look at the first thing he did. Begging. Beseeching him. Begging him. Begging him. Here's a picture of desperation. Now, I'm talking about a person who knows they're sick. I'm talking about a person that knows they're sick. I'm talking about a person who knows they're on their last leg. And if God don't step in here and intervene, I'm hellbound. Okay? I'm talking about that kind of person. I'm not talking about somebody who thinks they'll be all right. I can do it. I'll be all right. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of this hospital a little bit, and I'm going to be fine. I'm talking about somebody who knows they're in a desperate situation.
Amen.
Okay? He came to him begging. Begging. I think about when we was talking, we were studying about Jonah. And when Jonah got in that belly, well, there's a whole different story. That whole prayer in Jonah chapter 2, whole different prayer. He said, listen, I know you are the God of salvation. Okay? So we see this first thing we need to do, first thing we need to seek when our loved ones and our ourselves, when we in a desperate situation, you in trouble.
Yeah.
You in trouble. Just that per se, listen, I'm gonna tell you something. You need to be desperate. You need to get urgent about your situation.
Yeah.
Okay? There needs to be a sense of desperation about the situation you were in. And that's the second thing we see a reverence there. We see him not only he's begging, but this man here is falling down on his knees. Now we're talking about a leper with full blown leprosy. This was an act of desperation here, folks. Because by all rights, the crowd would have been ready to stone him. First of all, you don't see him saying nothing about being unclean or nothing. He should have been coming to him unclean, unclean. And if Luke's story is right, full-blown leprosy, it would have been obvious to everybody, this dude is contagious.
Amen.
This dude is highly contagious. I imagine the whole crowd would have backed up for Jesus. Because this leper probably was foul, the stench in the air, and the look on him, and the sores, and the pus, and everything about this dude would have been horrifying. And he came kneeling down. Think about, we talk about reverence, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, we see a little bit of the reverence in this leper. Look at verse 40, kneeling down and saying to him, if thou will. What's he saying? I know who you are. He's not doubting that. He said, I know who you are. I know you are the Son of God. I know you have the power to heal me. He's not questioning that at all. There's no question about the authority that this leper is given to Jesus. He said, if thou will, thou can make me clean. You see reverence there. Listen. You see humbleness or humility there. He's on his knees. He's reverent. He's desperate. Look at the fourth thing. He says, if thou will, thou can make me clean. We know what Hebrews 11 and 6 is popular. We probably know it. If I started off, you can finish it. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them what? That diligently seek him. What do we see here? You see diligence. You see desperation. You see humility. You see reverence. You see all that in this situation with this leper. Think about when we came to the Lord. It was personal.
Amen.
He left his friends. He said, I talk about the thief on the cross. Y'all heard me talk about the thief on the cross?
Uh-huh.
Once the thief on the cross told his friend on the cross, his other partner in crime, listen, he said, well, forget about him. I'm getting to Jesus myself.
Yeah.
Okay? He said, Lord, what? Remember us when you come to your kingdom. No. He said, remember me. Here, listen, I have nothing to do with that no more. Okay? That's the past. That's a picture of repentance. And this is what he said. It's personal. He said, make me clean. Make me clean. He was specific. Okay? How's your prayers? Can't be wobbly. We've been talking about prayers on Wednesday night. Can't be wobbly. Can't be wavering. Can't be floating all over. But be serious about what you come to God for.
Amen.
James 1 and 6 says, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Okay? Anybody ever been on Lake Erie? I remember Lake Erie. I used to go back there to my brother. Almost got us, stand out on Lake Erie. And then horns blew. And he's like, Uncle, we got another half an hour. We had about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been to Lake Erie since.
Amen.
Nothing wavering. Okay? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And tossed. There's a whole lot of Christian folks, saved folks, just, maybe God will, maybe God won't. Oh, get serious about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get desperate about it. Get specific about it.
Amen.
Okay, people talk, get specific about it. Put a name on it. Somebody said, put a name on it.
Yeah.
Okay, don't you just pray. I pray for the whole world. And I pray for all of China. And I pray for all of South Carolina. And no, let's get specific. Let's get pointed. I pray for my daughter.
Yeah.
Named Karina.
Yeah.
that she comes to know Jesus Christ, that God will do a work of grace in her heart. I'm going to put the name on it.
Amen.
Okay? Praying for Ray, that God will do a work of grace in his heart, that he will become the man that I know he can be.
Amen.
Put a name on it. We
all over the place. All over the place. Praying for butterflies. I'm praying for butterflies.
I haven't heard folks get up here and just show them. I pray that God would touch the breeze and the spring would come and the trees would change. Listen, I got time for that.
Amen.
Y'all ain't hearing that here. Y'all get up here and these brothers and sisters that pray here. Listen, we specific. Serious. That's all for us, you know.
I like we, you know, I have preachers that can just pray all day. Pray for everybody.
Pray for the moon, the sun, the stars, the wind. Folks be going crazy.
That's right, Claire. Folks sick and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Put a name on them.
Amen.
Pray for spanking.
Amen.
Put a name on it. God will do a work of grace in his heart. Touch it. Name on it. His prayer was brief. 5 words.
It was brief. 5 words. He got to the point. I got a problem here. Life is short for me. He knew his time was up.
His time was up. Now, look at the compassion of our Lord. Somebody talk about compassion today. I'm listening to y'all singing a song. And you know, compassion that they sing about. God is so compassionate. He's so kind to us. Okay?
Amen.
Listen here, you know. Somebody said, why you love me? I'll do a song, but why you love me? I will never know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that. I'm writing down stuff as I listen to you guys. Look at Jesus. The crowd has moved back. Crowd is back to him. Get away. This dude is contaminated. And everybody moving back. And Jesus moving forward.
And it says that Jesus moved with compassion. Stop right there. What is compassion? Pity. What did he come to do? He come to save those that were what? Lost and sick. And the crowd is moving back. And I've all been in the crowd. I've been backing up too.
Amen.
Okay. But the Jesus and the compassion of Christ said he was moved with compassion in him. Put forth his hand.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that's unthinkable. Now remember Luke was a doctor. Luke said he was full of leprosy. That means that stuff was oozing out of him. He was just a pus factory. Just oozing out of him. Just sores all over him and just a nasty looking thing. Just sick. And he touched him. Somebody said, why do you touch him? Now, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood. She was just like, listen, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. We talk about that word touch. That wasn't touch like Michael Duba-Caleb flicker in the back of the ear and act like he ain't do nothing. That's not the word touch. The word touch in the word of God means that he grabbed all of this dude. I imagine he just grabbed him with both hands and held him. And when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, what happened? The word of God said that he said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Why? And Peter was like, listen, folks. Everybody touching you. There's a big crowd out here today. This is what we want, you know. You know, some of these preachers, they, you know, it's a crowd. There ain't enough people in there. They can't even preach. I can't even preach 20 people. I need a crowd. A message for a crowd. So somebody touched me. Peter said, how you listen, folks? Everybody touching Jesus. And I said, no, not that kind of touch. He said, somebody touched me because I felt virtue leaving my body. I felt the power of the Spirit of God that's in me leaving me. And when he grabbed on to this leper, the power of God was entering his leper.
Uh-huh.
The power of God
was entering this leper. It says in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Because I'm deity. I'm the cleanest thing that ever lived. I am clean. I am pure. And this world cannot make me impure.
Amen.
Nothing can make me impure. I think a lot of times, like I said, I was watching the movie yesterday, and the woman with the alabaster box, and she's putting, you know, the hair on Jesus' feet and everything. You know, and then my little perverted mind, because I'm fallen. And I think some of the other folks are like, why are you letting this prostitute? Why are you letting this woman touch you? Because that's how we are. But that woman couldn't touch Jesus like that. She couldn't move him like that. Why? Because he was sinless. He was pure. He was God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if the woman started washing my feet with her hair, Cindy's going to have a fit. What's she doing? And if I said, well, you don't worry about it, you're the poor we always have with us. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. I'm sitting on her touching me because she knows I'm not Christ. Okay? Nobody wife in here wants no other woman touching their husband. Okay, just the way it is.
Yeah.
And just the way it is. But we see, he touched him. Why? He didn't have to. He could just fall over. He could have said, just don't go ahead on back to Jesus. No, he touched him because this man hadn't been touched. He hadn't been touched in a long time. He hadn't been touched in a long time. You know, we physical beings. And I'm a touchy guy. I hope none of y'all get real personal, because I walk around and I just pat you on the back, and I don't think I ever pass Rita without touching her. You know, it's just what I do, because we just physical creatures. God made us like that. Okay? And I hug on y'all and touch on y'all and bump into y'all, and I don't walk past my kids without punching them or elbowing them. It's just what we do. Okay? And you know, and like I tell Michaela, once she 12 years old, once 13, then your lap days is over with me, you know?
Amen.
You know? You done. So she hugged me as much as she can. I said, once you get 13, I ain't hugging you no more.
Amen.
Because we're physical. We love being touched. So he touched this man as a show of compassion. This man had been touched. Imagine that. Imagine not being touched for 9 years. Imagine not your family coming to see you and if you can't touch them. Imagine that. That's a show of compassion. He loved. He's a man that was full of compassion. Then he touched them for the crowd. Let them know that his sin wasn't going to affect me. It's not going to affect me. I'm God. I'm God in the flesh. I'm all powerful. Nothing in this world has no effect on me. I came here to touch sin. I came here to touch sin. I came here to have an impact on sin. Luke 19:10 said, Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. When you talk about lost, you're talking about sin.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about sinners. Not lost in space, lost in the woods, or just lost. You're talking about sinners. Okay? Unsaved folks. Jesus came to touch us.
Amen.
And to love us.
Amen.
And not just a select few. I hear that stuff all the time. No, he came to save the world.
Amen.
He came to touch the world.
Amen.
And this Easter, you know what? This Easter, this resurrection weekend, whether folks like it or not. You know, whether it's the jelly beans, the Easter eggs, the Easter bunnies, all that, whatever. You know, folks are going to be called out. They're going to be called out. Jesus died and rose again. And that's not easy to believe. We sit here and talk about it. It's not easy to believe. I could just recite it, because I just want to read this Romans 10:9, because this weekend is a wonderful weekend. But Romans 10:9 says this, and if you say you're going to believe this, and your unsaved friends don't think you crazy if you believe this, because it's the foolishness of preaching. The things of God is foolishness to a natural man. Some folks are going to think we crazy getting up in here, coming up here 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're preaching and have breakfast. Well, that's just what we do.
Amen.
Okay. We ain't crazy enough. Our doctors are, we ain't crazy enough.
Amen.
Look at Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's huge. That's a huge verse. Because before you can believe that he was raised from the dead, you have to believe that he was born of a virgin.
Amen.
Then he walked this world. He was sinless 33 and a half years. He died on a cross for his sins. Not only did he die, but he was buried. He was buried.
Uh-huh.
And on the third day, he rose again.
Amen.
Everybody can't believe that. There's a whole lot of preachers. We did a survey, and Barna Research did a survey, and it says 50% of preachers preaching the gospel don't believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
That's incredible. You know? Some of y'all here, I got some visitors here, been here 3 weeks. You know what? You better find out if preachers believe the Bible.
Amen.
And you find out that before you start talking about joining the church. I like for y'all to sit as long as you want.
Amen.
And examine the preaching, examine the teaching.
Amen.
Get to Sunday school, get to Wednesday night. See what's being taught here.
Amen.
Okay? Because if they tell me 50% of preachers don't believe in the resurrection, another 50% don't believe in the virgin birth, and another 50% don't believe he died on the cross, well, what do they believe?
Amen.
That's awesome to me. That's incredible to me. It is. But it's just the truth. Mark 1, let's finish this up. Talk about the compassion of Christ in Mark 1 and 44. It says this. I'm not going to 44. And straightway, verse 43, he charged him. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you get your Bible. And you give all our new members Bibles when they join. We give them Bibles because you get some instructions. Okay? Some folks, you just go to church. I'm saved. You know, pray, repeat after me. You okay? No. And you don't go to a new job, and you go to a new job, and they take you to in-service training and classes and different things. You got to learn what we do here.
Amen.
Okay, you work with this company now. I want you to walk around with him for the rest of the week and learn about this part of the department and learn about this part of the department. And you got to fill out all this kind of paperwork. Same thing when you come to the Lord. And you come to the Lord, and you know what, folks? Come to the Lord. And what happened? Nothing. I'm saved now. Did they give you any instructions? What do they call the Bible? Biblical instructions before leaving earth? Is that how it goes? Something like that? Basics? David didn't know that stuff, man. He's telling me that stuff. He gave him instructions. Now we have a hard time following instructions. I know some folks just caving in. Churches all over the world just caving in. We don't. We listen. I understand what the word of God says, but
uh-huh.
You know, I just don't know. Well, you probably one of the priests don't believe in resurrection too. I understand what the Word of God says, but you know what? It feels good. And the people like it. And a lot of people come because we do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you see in here in verse 44. This man heard God's instructions. He heard God's instructions in verse 44. He heard God's instructions because it says in verse 43. He straightly charged him. Listen. He gave him basically a command. You do this. This man didn't do it. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him. Let me say something about that first. Now this was a leper. Full blown leprosy. Now I know some of y'all been to them healing services. Okay. You leave them healing services and you know what? You still taking high blood pressure pills the next day. Okay?
Amen.
I ain't got high blood pressure. I'm like, deliver you from your high blood pressure. Bam! Let me tell you something. They don't call it the silent killer for nothing. You might feel good for a couple of days. Do not give up on high blood pressure pills because Papa or Prophet Claire told you to. You sitting up there eating a slab of rent from Sunny Man or somewhere. Don't get off your Vernon, don't get off your high blood pressure pill by the doctor. You went up to the road up to Victory or somewhere. Listen, this man was healed. He had full blown leprosy. Probably may not have no feet, might not have no hands. Listen. Jesus told him, straightway go to the priest. That might have been 20 to 50 miles. He was healed and strengthened. He was completely healed. And here's one of Mark's favorite words. Immediately, look at verse 42. Immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He was cleansed. Look at this yokey joke stuff. You know, we ain't doing bats today. We ain't doing blind people today. We're not doing lepers today. You know, everybody came. He healed them all.
Amen.
He healed them all. This man was healed. He was cleansed. He was energized. He was healed enough where he could make this journey. You know, see, we miss that when we fly through the Bible. We miss that. He was healed. He was completely healed. Okay? And some of these folks play around with Teddy. Well, Teddy, you know, you need to go see Faith Healer Johnson. Oh, no, listen. Uh-huh. Listen. Ain't nobody doing that today.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Amen. You want to see your doctor, you're going to do what he's saying.
Amen.
Okay? I didn't hear folks, I don't need to go to the doctor. You don't need all that. Hey, listen, you can do the doctor. God send the doctor.
Amen.
Take your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to sit here and say, Oh, Kenny, let me lay my hand on your back. No, my back still hurt. Okay?
Amen.
I need to have this surgery. And pray for me, that's what you do.
Amen.
Jesus was healing folks. Let me tell you why. And we need to understand this. If you don't get nothing else out of this sermon, get this. Jesus healed people and delivered folks from demon possession to validate the fact that he truly was God.
Yes.
And the power of God rested in him. And he was able to do it. Now, he drew big crowds. See, we get caught up in the big crowd thing. And somebody said, we haven't healed him, sir. We haven't healed him. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. If I had the gift of healing, okay? I will be making a ton of dough. Okay? And I'll be right now, with all the money Whitney Houston's family got, she would still be in no coma if Apostle Neil had anything to do with it, because I'm getting married. Come up out of that coma. That'd be $2 million. Peyton Manning, oh, you got a broken leg? Let me touch that. Get back in the game. $2 million. I'll be at ringside. Nobody getting hurt. Oh, you got a cut on it. Pack it out here. Let's touch it. Go on back in there. I'll be so rich. I'll be so rich. Oprah couldn't hold me on her show. Oprah couldn't hold me on her show. Be like, you healing everybody. That's right. I'm healing everybody because I got the power of God to heal. Ain't nobody got that like that. Because I'll be in the hospital. Claire be broke. Thank you, be 100% sick right now, sitting right next to her. Because I'm going to heal him. And I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to heal everybody in the hospital. That's what Jesus did. He healed everybody. He healed everybody. Now, there's something that you need to gather out of that. And I'm going to cut it short. Sin, in that day, caused great sickness.
Amen.
Jesus came and healed the whole city to let them know the error of their ways. And you look at our country today and all the sickness. You look at our country today and all the sickness. And you think about all the sin in our country. You think about what we stand for today in our country. Okay? You think about what's going on in Indiana. Y'all need to look at that thing in Indiana. What's going on in Indiana. Okay? Because the governor passed a law And it's causing problems.
Because
he's saying, you know what? A church, if you are a Christian, you have a right to say no to things that you don't believe. And if you, if we selling cakes and we don't want to make a cake with two dudes on it, then we don't have to.
Amen.
Okay? Because I have a problem and running a bakery. I'm going to put two dudes on a cake. And that's just... I'm going to be out of business. That's just me. I'm just stupid like that, you know? It's just the way I am. So we pay attention to these things and go on about our business as a church. Let me finish up. Let me get to rambling here. He gave us a direct commandment in verse 44. See that thou say nothing to any man, but go on your way and show yourself to the priest. Why? Because the priest needs to know. The priest needs to know. Because they would have known the book. Remember when John was in prison and John told the disciples, go see if he's a man. Okay? Matthew 11. He said, listen, tell John. You tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers have been cleansed. Okay? Let them know who I am. The priest needs to know that. And then the people needed to know that he truly was God. Okay, we won't have no Palm Friday and no Palm Passion Week. We don't get past this week. Okay, for the thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them, to them, to everybody. We need to know. Now, he was disobedient. Church is disobedient. Church is doing things that God said the church is not supposed to do. Well, you know, I don't believe that no more. I don't believe that no more. And we got churches full of women preachers, put it like that. Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't get on women preachers. I'm not getting on the women preachers, but I'm just telling you what God said.
Amen.
And God said that a pastor ought to be the husband of one wife.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, it's not so much that I don't believe women can preach, because my sister's a preacher and can outpreach me. I got a sister-in-law. I got an aunt. I got a whole bunch of women preachers in my family. They don't talk to me. But I got a whole lot of them. But I'm going to tell them what the Word of God said. Well, you know what? I understand what it said, Pastor Neil. I understand what it said, but I just believe it, you know, in my heart.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, you line your heart up with the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Then we have to line our heart up with the Scriptures.
That's right.
Okay? Because I know those sisters up here that are preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then they got to line it up with the Word of God.
Right.
Because God is the God of order.
Yeah.
And he said, God is over man, and man is over woman.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Okay? But God changed his mind. Things are different now. You know, Paul hated women. All that kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff. Here's what he did. He says, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what Moses commanded? Go to Leviticus and read Leviticus 13. I don't have time right now. For a testimony unto them. But, see, that's what the women preachers say.
Mm-hmm.
But the men don't want to step up. The men don't want to preach. They got a valid case. Listen, they got a valid case.
Amen.
They got a valid case because the brothers don't want to do nothing. Okay? Had 10 babies.
Amen.
Brothers don't want to step up. Brothers don't want to be deacons. Brothers don't want to be ministers. Brothers don't want to be ushers. Brothers don't want to sing. Brothers don't want to do nothing. Paint their face on Sunday night and go to a football game and get drunk. 70,000 men at a football game. Don't want to do nothing. You want to be a deacon? You want to be a minister? No. I ain't got time for that. It's going to change my life. But he went out and began to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter. Telling everybody running to.
Mm-hmm.
If it was 60 miles to the temple, he told everybody he ran into, look at me. Woo, woo, look at me, look at me. And that's what we do. I can understand being excited. I can wait to get home and call Cindy when God saved me. She's like, you must be crazy. He did. I'm different. Change. Then I did the Michael Jackson thing. I want you back. They ain't pulling my jersey. Keep pulling my rope. No, we was messed up and I wasn't. I know I was leprous. I was full of leprosy. I was full blown. And God saved me. That's why I like these kind of scriptures. That's why I like these kind of verses. And I know what God can do. I know what God can do. Okay? In so much that Jesus could no more openly enter the city, but was without in desert places. They switch places, didn't they? Jesus went where the leper was, and the leper went where Jesus was supposed to be. The leper went to the temple, Jesus went into the wilderness. And they came to him from every quarter. I know. Understand sin and the three problems it brings. And God came to heal us. Sin separates us from God. And you know, I know folks won't show up. They get slack in their attendance, different things like that. A lot of times it's just sin. Now I don't feel good. You're not gonna feel good. You're not gonna feel like coming to church if you're not living in God's will.
Amen.
Okay. If you're not worshiping, praising God, thanking God for everything that you have, everything He's done for you, you're not gonna feel like being around God. Sin is worldwide. Okay? It's worldwide. It's not just in Youngstown. It's worldwide. Look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Satan ain't gonna tell you that. See, church gotta tell you that. And then the last thing, sin leads to eternal damnation, eternal death. Listen, let me tell you something. All of us are here that were saved, we was headed for trouble. We was on our way. And we thought we had it going on. I thought I had it going on. Listen, I thought I had it going on. I was doing my thing. Okay? For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Listen, let me tell you something. There is no unemployment line in sin. You know, it's always paying. And it pays high wages. Okay, good wages, bad benefits. Good wages.
Man.
I ain't got no health care. Obama took care of that. So now you can serve sin and don't worry about it. Health care, you got it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ,
amen.
Our Lord. Father, thank you for the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, for touching us like you touched the leper. Reaching out, Father God, but nobody wanted to fool with us. We was messed up.
Yes,
we just hung out with lepers. The only people who were touching us was lepers. But you gave us strength, Father God, to walk away from the leper camp.
Mm-hmm.
You gave us strength, Father God, and you gave us grace and mercy to fall down on our knees and to beg God, listen, save me. I'm in a mess. I am in a world of trouble. And if I don't get out of this mess I'm in, I'm going to die and go to hell. And I know it. And I know you are the only person that can save me.
Amen.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for reaching out your hand and touching me. And then not only touching me, Father God, but imparting your power into me so that I can serve you, that I can do the things that you call me to do. God, you're so good and you're so faithful. Your grace and mercy is so necessary. Father God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I feel strong, Father God. But you say in your word, Father God, if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us, Father God, we can just get back up. We can just shake that thing off and get back to serving you.
Amen.
Because, Father God, you said, while we're in this flesh, Father God, we're going to battle. Sin and will never leave us alone, Father God. But you say in your word, greater is He that is within us than he that's in the world. Father God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us assurance, Father God, even when we do slip. Even when we do fall. Even when we don't have our great day, Father God, you're still a great God. You're still a great God, and we have a bad day, Father God, because we still have tomorrow to serve you. And then, Father God, knowing that if we die today, that we'll be with you, Father God, for all eternity. What a blessing, Father God.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
You're a good God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Doors of the church are open.